ship, and he's the will, he's the will. Well, in the middle of the will,
and I know he'll never,
I know
he'll never,
yes,
he'll never let me down. He's just a jewel,
he's just a
that you know that I have found. Help me sing it, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah, I love to praise his name.
I'ma sing hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah, my Lord.
I love to praise his name.
Oh, I'ma sing hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah. Well, I love to praise his name. Well, I love to pray
in the morning. I love
to pray
in the evening. I love
to praise his holy name.
Amen, amen, amen. And good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Good morning again. Amen. How you doing? God is good. We thank him for blessing us to be here this morning to worship his great name. I miss you. I miss you. I haven't been here. I haven't been in the pulpit on Sunday morning in 3 Sundays. And I miss being with the saints. I miss being with the family. The 3 Sundays ago, I was at the Houston as the Crusade for Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. And I was encouraged by being at the crusade because it is an evangelistic work where the emphasis, the focus is on saving souls. Are there souls in the world that need to be saved?
Yes.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. As we live every day, you go to work, you watch the news, there is a great need for people to have the love of Jesus Christ in their lives. On 2 Sundays ago, I believe it was 2 Sundays ago, am I getting it mixed up? We were at the marriage retreat, and we had a lovely, I don't know if anybody said anything about it, but we had a lovely marriage retreat. We had the most couples that we've ever had before, and our theme was the best part, and I believe our marriages were encouraged. I know mine was. Were encouraged, and Brother Robertson did a wonderful job. Sister Andrea Green spoke to our sisters, and so we were encouraged by that. We're thankful to the elders for choosing to help subsidize the cost of the marriage retreat so many couples could go. But we missed being here with the family. And then last Sunday, I spoke at the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ in Richardson of Dallas, Texas, and many of your relatives and so many sent love, and I didn't know we had that many connections there. They kind of wore me out, though. I preached at the 8 o'clock service, the 10:45 service, the 6 o'clock service, so I was too tired to drive home Sunday night. But we had a great time in the Lord. But it's good to know that we have men and women who are able to carry on the cause of Christ. You know, it's good to know that we have teachers and ministers who can teach and preach. You know, the church is not dependent on any one person. And one of my jobs as a preacher, one of the elders' jobs as leaders in the church is to grow and to train up men and women to be able to do the Lord's work.
Amen.
And grow in the Lord. But I'm still happy to be here today with you. And I hope you're not ready to throw me away just yet. I've entitled the lesson, I'm getting sentimental as I grow older. You know, we had a funeral yesterday, and some of you, do you read your bulletins? Everybody read your bulletins. I don't need you to raise your hand, but do you know what goes on in the life of the church? I mean, hopefully, and I know this is the wrong crowd, but hopefully you keep up with what's going on, because we family, aren't we?
Yes.
I mean, we're supposed to be. And I know some of us are newer than others. Some of us haven't been here as long as others. But we print these bulletins, and it doesn't have all the information in it. But we're on a journey. We're on a journey. And God has designed it so that we be family while we on earth, because he knows we're going to need each other. I want to give an encouraging lesson today. Encouraging to our new converts, encouraging to those who have not decided just yet to be a part of the family. Encouraging to those of you that have been, that you may be a millennial, you're in that age of 25, 23 to late 30s, and you still kind of trying to figure it out, and you still have some doubts, and everything is pulling at you, and you're trying to find your way. Encouraging to those who are in that midlife, and you trying to figure out if you still got it, or what you going to do with the rest of your life, and I haven't accomplished all that I need to accomplish, and things are not going the way I thought they were going to go. Encouraging to those of you that have been in this race for a while. And this race, boy, it gets hard sometimes. And I've entitled the lesson this morning, Continue. Continue, simply one word, continue. You start studying something. How you gonna put Brother Geary? You gonna put this in 35 minutes? I don't know. You know, we just spall. We so spall, and we just, you know, we on a time schedule, and we don't have no time for the Lord. We need to throw these clocks. Get that big old clock off the wall. We spoil. We don't have time for it. I know I'm just speaking out my, you know, because there's so much in this. The Bible, there's much repetition. Everybody's all right. I'm all right. I love you. I love you. Love the Lord. There's much repetition in Scripture. You know, when you start studying, you see, you know, there's repetition. And sometimes I'm like, you know, why is he saying this over and over again? And you're kind of amazed, but you're not surprised as repetition, because we need repetition. You know, we have to be reminded of things all the time. How many of you have your members, and you have that, you have our scan cards? How many of you have one of those scan cards? Quite a few you have. I just want to add, don't raise your hand this time. How many of you scanned your card before you came in? I know something, but it's not working all the time. I pray for us on that. We working on that. But you know, we have to remind our children of things all the time. You know, I remember when I was younger. You know, and I'm not that I've arrived now, but I always say, look, when you leave out of room, turn the lights off. Amen. The old school. You know who say that to most people that's paying their bills? Yeah, folks, you ain't paying the bills. You just everything on. You're not worried about nothing. And you have to remind them. And sometimes, Mama, Daddy, you say that all the time because you don't do it. That's why I say it. But we have to be reminded of things. And God recognizes that. He made us. He knows us. And there are many scriptures in the Bible. Listen to Romans chapter 15:15. But I have written very boldly to you on some points so as to remind you again. Because of the grace that was given me from God. Paul writing to the church. He says, God has been good to me. He's had grace, mercy on me. And I'm writing this just to remind you. I've already reminded you once. 1 Corinthians 4:17, for this reason I sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. And so don't be disillusioned. Don't say, Brooke, we heard that before. Well, you about to hear it again. Yeah. I want to begin. I know the brother read Acts 14:21. I want to begin in Colossians 1 in verse number 21. We have to be reminded because how soon we become distracted. How soon we forget. Help us, Lord. And although you were formerly this Colossians 1:21. Colossians 1:21. If you went to Colossians 1:2, you see it's definitely written to those who are saints. He calls them saints. Then it also calls them faithful brethren. Uses the word brethren, talking about brothers and sisters, generically, brothers and sisters in Christ. So he's talking to the church. And he says, and although you were formerly alienated, uses the word alienated. The word alienated means to estranged. See, before you are in Christ, and I'm going to speak to those of you that's not in Christ, but before you were in Christ, we're estranged from the relationship. And it's really applied in the first century because, and this is primarily written to Gentiles, not Jews, because Jews were, they were God's chosen people. And don't get disillusioned. It's not that God had favorites. It's because before Abraham, there wasn't no necessarily chosen. Before Abraham, it was God's people. But God, through Abraham, he initiated his ultimate plan to save all mankind. And he initiated his plan, and he chose a group of people to begin carrying out his ultimate plan. So he chose a people. And the Gentiles were not a part of that plan initially. But now that Jesus Christ has come, we all have access to God. Everybody in the whole world. And so when he wrote this back, he says, you were strange. You were not a part of the initial plan I had with the Jews. But now that Christ has come, you were strange. You were alienated. He said this, but for those of us today, now we've been had an opportunity to Jesus Christ for a long time. Yeah, and see, we could have obeyed the gospel of Christ. Some of us, maybe not here in here, maybe if you're watching on television, but it still means the same thing, because when you outside of Christ, you still are estranged. You know what the word alien means? It means you are not even a part of this world. And you're surely not, were not a part of the Christian, wasn't a part of the Christian journey. You were estranged, you were alienated. And some of us, before we came into Jesus Christ, you were living in Texas, living in Houston, living wherever you were, but you were estranged from God. And there's still a lot of people who at work with us, who are in our families, who are under the definition of estranged. And you don't want to die estranged from the Lord. You don't want to die in that condition. And then he says, hostile in mind. I'm reading back at the text. It says, you are hostile in mind. That's some people still today, they hostile in mind. What does that mean, Brother Gary? They mad at the world. And some people are angry. Some people have in their mind that life is unfair. But, I recognize life is not necessarily fair. Things happen in life. But if you don't put it in perspective, you mad. You mad at people. You mad. I'm mad. I'm black. Really? You can't change that. Can you? Yeah. You know what? And there are even people who are mad at God. And that's what happens when you don't understand, when you don't recognize God's plan. And he says, you used to be like that, mad at the world. Yeah, some folks mad at God. God was so good. Why is there so much suffering in the world? And really, it's a legitimate question if you don't understand, if you don't know the Lord, if you don't know his word. It really is a legitimate question. It's a confusing question. And that's what we're dealing with. Some of these young folks, some of these millennials, all this stuff coming out, and they just mad. Don't nothing make sense. And they're hostile in mind. And some of us in here used to be like that. You're mad at the world. But you got to understand that Jesus came to this world because of sin. Sin is the problem. It's still a problem. We have the victory of sin, but some people don't know it. And see, and we associate sin with we associate the problem, suffering in this world. We don't understand why suffering's in this world. It's because sin, we have cameras on our, we have cameras all in the parking lot and cameras on the side. You know why we have cameras? It's not for you, I don't think. Yesterday came up here yesterday, and you know they're doing some painting, and I pulled up and there was paint all on the side of the building, paint all on the side of the building, and I pulled up and said, "Now, where did that come from?" I said, "One of these children around here." I thought I didn't really want to blame it on the children, but I just came to my mind. And it's just somebody that got mad. We were doing some painting and left a can out there, and they just decided to paint the whole side of the building. Why would they do that? I don't know. I don't know. They might be mad at somebody. They might have been mad at the church. They might have been mad at Brother Norval because he didn't give them no money. I don't know. What are you saying, Brother Gary? See, we can't control people. God made us in his own image, after his own likeness. He put in us his spirit, but God does not make us do anything. We have choices, and there are consequences behind our choices. And you know, God loves us. He teaches us. He gives us everything that we need, but he lets us make the choices, and some of us make bad choices. And that's why there's so much chaos in the world. That's why it's not, don't blame God. Some folk mad at God, but God already got a plan. He had a plan in place even before he created the world. Yeah, but some folks still hostile in mind. Then he says, I'm back at the text, Colossians 1. I told you, I'm going to just stop when my time is up. I don't know where I'm going to finish. Engaged in evil deeds. This is how you used to be. Engaged in evil deeds. What's evil deeds? Anything that transgresses against God's word. Yes. See, and I know it's confusing because the world has blurred the line into what's evil. Yes. In 2 John chapter 1, verse number 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But whoever abideth in the doctrine had both the Son and the Father. And so first of all, God has to be the standard for right and wrong. And God alone. And some of us, we used to do all kinds of things. And thank the Lord we had a conscience. See, it's dangerous when folk do things and don't have a conscience. Amen. Yeah, I don't know what to say to somebody who don't care that they doing what they doing. But that's the way some of us in the church, that's the way some Christians back then were. They engaged in evil deeds. I won't go down the line to talk about evil deeds. He says, but verse 22 said, yet he has now reconciled. Reconcile means to restore the favor. He is now. Everybody say now. I love that. Because that means that as long as you're living, you got a chance. As long as anybody, even in the world, is living, they have the opportunity. Although they did what they did, they decided what they did, they have the opportunity to say, now it's going to be different. Yeah. Yeah. God reconciled. He restored us. God did that. You didn't do that. We didn't do that. You in his fleshly body, that's Jesus, through death. It was a literal act that Jesus died, this vicious death, to redeem us. And it's real. It's real history. It really happened. It was real pain. And he was sinless. He didn't have any sin. Who would do that for anybody? And God did it for us. See, he did. Why did he do it, Brother Gary? In order to present you before him holy and blameless beyond reproach. That's why God did it. That one day we're going to be, you do know one day we're going to be presented to God. Listen, Jesus is going to do the presenting. And we stand, and if you're standing before God and you don't have Jesus, I know there's another lesson to teach, and I know, but if you don't stand before God and you don't know Jesus, if you haven't obeyed Jesus, if you're a young person in here right now and you're struggling with, I don't know when I want to get baptized, because I'm young and I got a lot of things I need to do. You need to make up your mind. Yeah. A lot of us were young when we decided to follow the Lord. And yes, we have to change our life, our lifestyle. But can I ask some of you that's in here, is it worth it? The Lord kept me. The Lord has kept me. Look here. The Lord has kept me out of jail. Now, I could have been in jail with the Lord. Amen. But it's just that I knew some things, Gary, you can't do. Amen. Those are the principles. See, this, whosoever transgressed and abided not in the doctrine. See, that in the I haven't even gotten to this part. Let me read the rest of this. Listen to this. He says, in order to present you him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith. That's why I entitled this, Continue. See, we've been baptized. We've been added. And that's, you know what, this applies to most of us in here. See, this is an 8 o'clock sermon in the morning sermon. Why are you saying that, Brother Gary? Because most of you have been baptized in Jesus Christ. We've already heard God's word. We believe it with all our heart. We repent of our sins. We confess Christ. We've been baptized in it. Raise your hand if you've been baptized in Jesus Christ. Raise your hand. So that's what I thought. So this is definitely a lesson. Because, see, you can't continue something you haven't even started. And so what are you saying? Now, everybody didn't raise a hand. And so this is the part where I want to encourage you to begin the journey. See, don't be trying to figure out. You're not God. Don't be trying to say, I'll do this tomorrow or the next day or the next week, because tomorrow is not promised to us. I know we say that to sound like that's something like something we say old people say, or you know that broken. I don't want to hear all that. You need to hear. And see, the dangerous part is while your heart is sensitive, while your ears are still open, because you know what that you some folks turn the Bible. They don't want to listen to church music. They don't want to hear nobody on the radio. Why? Because they don't want nothing messing with their life. But while your ears are still tender, while you're still under the sound of God's word, you need to obey it. Amen. You need to obey it. When, Brother Gary? You need to do it today. And so this is the appeal to those that's not in Christ to begin, because our spiritual life begins after baptism. Our journey to heaven begins after we are baptized. And so the invitation is, if you're nervous, somebody will come with you. Something won't with church. If you I know some people they don't like crowds, and I understand that. If you don't like a crowd, then we can do it after church. Well, now, Brother, don't tell them to do it after church. They need to come. No, just be quiet and you know, just something, worry about yourself. You know, some folks loud and just, I want to do it with everybody. Well, everybody not like that. But at the same time, you can't be ashamed. Amen. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. So somebody got to be there. Amen. Yeah, we don't do this in secret. But I'm just trying to give you all the options. I'm trying to take all the excuses. We got clothes back there. Sisters, we got a thing that'll go over your head. It'll take care of that weed. I mean, that, you know. I'm sorry. I just. We have big clothes, small clothes. And so the invitation is for you. You hear the gospel, it's the good news, to believe it with all your heart that Jesus came, he died, to repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. And so you can be baptized this morning. But to those of us that's in Christ, those of us that's in the body right now, especially this group right here, we got to continue. It's a word that means to carry on. It means to go on. It means to keep doing. Continue. It says continue in the faith. And for clarity, see, when the Bible says continue in the faith encompasses, it embodies the doctrine of Christ. I just quoted 2 John chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatever you do in word, that's the word. That's why I'm reading these scriptures, because you don't need to hear what Bergeri had to say. This is all about God. Whatever you do in word, now the word is what we teach. If you're Bible school teaching, we don't be teaching none of your opinions and this might be high. No, just read the scriptures. Interpret the scriptures in word. And that's why we take the Lord's Supper. We take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. When's the first day of the week? Is there a week that don't have a first day? So that's why we take it on the first day. We want to be right with God. Amen. And so in word, the faith encompasses the word. That's why we study. That's why we have Bible class. That's why we want to be clear, make sure we're doing what God would have us to do, and the way we live. Indeed. Now, that's the one is dangerous to this group. Amen. Especially when you've been in the church a while and you've heard 3,400 sermons and you've been to 2,500 Bible classes. Is what we're doing with the word. And he says, continue. Continue. Because, and the repetition in the Bible, see, and if you don't watch out, the devil will snatch all of this. He says, continue in the faith. Yeah. Why I need to be here every Sunday? What you doing when you're not here? Notice this. Continue in the faith. He says, firmly established. That's why you need to be here. That's why we need to be here. That's why our children need to be here. That's why they need to hear it over and over again. I tell you what, you turn the radio on every day, what you gonna hear? They play. You turn the radio. You can turn it on anytime, any day. You know the radio don't go off all the time. All this music infiltrated. How many times you think your child hears the word of God? He says firmly established. The word established means not wavering. Because that's what the world will do to you. He uses it almost twice. He says firmly established and steadfast. The both of the words mean to not waver. Yeah. And not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I hope that we never have a church that's tired of the preached word. Yeah, because because now more so than ever is some lesson, some teaching you get nowhere else but in God's house. You know, I'm telling you, I don't know. You know, every generation seems to say that, you know, I don't know what the world is coming to. You know, when I was little, they used to say that. I remember, you know, I hear the old people around talking, boy, these children, this world, I don't know what the world coming to. And we were little, I used to say, ooh, they just old. But I find myself in conversations. I find myself in conversation with the brothers, with the sisters. We be sitting around talking, and you know, sisters start talking and say, ooh, these children, ooh, Lord, I don't know. It just wasn't like this when I. But I'm telling you what we didn't have. This is the truth. We didn't have this constant barrage. See? We didn't have, I don't know. I know somebody got rich off that Apple phone and those iPhones and those Androids. Somebody is getting rich off of those phones. But I'm telling you, I just wish we could just go. So I just wish that we could go back 1 week with pay phones. Don't you, Brother Harden? Some of these millennials looking at me saying, it ain't gonna happen, Brother Gary. I'm seeing you. I see your eyes. I'm looking at you. I feel you. I'm serious. Do you realize that? You realize we used to come to the Lord's house. There wasn't no phones in the Lord's house. See, one of the challenges of, I saw an article. I don't know. I can't remember. You see so much. I saw an article was showing this lady said, I'm sick of, I'm not going to church no more because ain't nothing but hypocrites in church. Because she was saying that she was in church and one row, everybody on the row, it showed a picture of them. They were on their phone and they had their head down and they were looking at the phone, pecking on the phone. She said, I'm just sick of, I ain't going to church no more because ain't nothing but heathens in the church. I hope they didn't take that picture at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. But what I'm saying is we used to not have that issue. And I know, you know, it's the generation and people, the Bible is on the phone. And people be looking at their Bible. Is that what we be doing? Sometimes. Say sometimes. And I do. I use mine sometimes. But I was at the crusade. I was at the crusade 3 weeks ago sitting. And they, you know, they asked me to, I was emceeing. They asked me to sit on stage. And I had my phone. And the brother was going through scriptures. And I was going through my Bible on my phone. And the brother that was sitting next to me, he said, brother, he said, yeah, they asked us to not use those phones on the stage because the TV, they had the cameras on. They didn't want you. And I say, he said, I know you're on your Bible. I see it on your Bible. But some people don't know that. And so I'm not saying don't. I'm just saying be aware of Satan's schemes. And you know what? We can fool other people, but we can't fool God. Yeah, you. Oh, bro, I was on my Bible, bro. I be on it all the time on my phone. Okay, that's all. You ain't got that. I'm not going to police you. I'm not going to police you. But what are you saying? Continue. And don't let anybody see. We're here to worship God. This see, there ought to be there. Listen, when we sing, we're singing not to the song leader, not to nobody on the side. We're singing to God. Yeah, I understand. I'm understanding as he says. He be steadfast, be firm. Don't be wavering. You know, if your child was sick in the hospital, if your parents, somebody sick, and you want somebody to pray for, you want somebody to get a prayer through. You want a sincere prayer. Yeah. So this hit at home with me. He says, away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed. Listen to this. In all creation under heaven. It's during this time. It seems that, man, that the folks was preaching and teaching the word of God. It says, he says, of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Yeah. And then he goes on. He goes on to, I'm going to read the text the brother read here in Acts chapter 14, verse 20.
21, Acts 14, 21. Continue in the faith. After that, after they had preached the gospel, that's consistent always. The gospel is good news. I spoke on this when I was in Greenville, is preachers, teachers, we're preachers of good news. The gospel is the good news. Even when we are correcting, even when we are rebuking someone, it's in the context that we are attempting, we are trying to help folks see that Christ is the better choice. Not we trying to send anybody to hell. Not we trying to talk somebody down. It still needs to be good news. Yeah, and he says, and after they had preached the gospel to that city and it made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples. Notice this is that constant reminder. You know, it's like, yeah, we got baptized, and yes, I was happy. I'm glad I'm in the Church of Christ, and I'm glad I'm a servant. But boy, then you go out in that world, and boy, man, you know, or something happens. Listen to this, and he says, encouraging them to continue, don't stop. In a few weeks, we're gonna. And maybe this week, you know, we've done it before. We have a calling committee, and I think Brother Terry had some in the bulletin. Brother Curtis, we with elders, we with the ministers, we're going to be calling the church. And it's, we're not trying to get anybody's business. We just know that people need encouragement. Amen. Amen. So if you get a call, don't know what they calling me for. Answer your phone. I mean, or just, you know, at least acknowledge, you know, that's why I want to come to a big church, because people don't know your business. Excuse me? Come on now. Yeah. So we just calling. How you doing? Just Brother Barry. Just checking on you, see how you doing. And then some of us, we don't do our calls. We don't do our... We don't scan, or we don't fill. I don't believe in all that scan. Well, fill out the card. That white card, fill it out. Because, oh, I don't, you know, we don't have to do that every time. Okay. Then somebody died in our family. I said, if somebody died in your family. I shouldn't say if, I said, when somebody died in your family. You know the first number you call? Maybe not the first number, but, oh, I need to talk to one of the elders. Oh, yeah, who? And then, I'm so and so and so and so. You who? And the first thing we do is we get that phone and we have a church app. It's a beautiful thing. It has the pictures of the members. Now, everybody haven't taken pictures yet. Now, we can take some of the pictures, but you can also take, you know how you take a selfie? Now, don't do the selfie, but we'll get somebody to take a picture and send it to the church. Send it to Bulletin at FWC, because, you know, everybody, we don't know everybody's faces. So you take a picture and send it so we can put it on this church app. And so when you call, okay, this is Sister So, this is Brother So and So. Because we family, aren't we? How would you, somebody die in your family, and you a member of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, and nobody? And so it's not that, the shepherds especially, the elders, they have an awesome responsibility. Amen. Trying to keep up with everybody. They will give the Bible says they will give an account,
yes, sir,
of every member under their charge. You know what? That's why I'm the preacher. I preach the word, and I love people. But you know, the Bible don't say that about me specifically. I will give an account of every word that I preach, but it just gives a specific to the elder. It says you will give. Did you know the people in your body? So it's not about trying to get in your business, because we don't do that. We just don't do that. We don't call them, what you doing? Why you wasn't here? We don't do that. Well, we're not supposed to do that.
because we're not the Lord over anybody. And it may not be your time right now to need encouragement. Oh, bro, I'm all right. I'm all right. Yeah, I'm doing good. But it might not be your time right now. Encouraging them. So help us continue in the faith. Continue in learning. Continue in fellowship. Continue in breaking of bread. Continue in prayer. Listen to what it said. And saying, I need to stop. Through many tribulations. That's in our Bibles. It says through tribulations or trials. This will get us. This what gets us is when we have a trial. We already in the faith. We've been baptized. But then a trial comes. What's a trial? Trials, sometimes they come because of things we do. David, you read the whole book of Psalms. I have sinned. I and I alone have sinned against you, God. And sometimes trials come because of that, don't they?
Amen.
Yeah, we can't blame everything on everybody else. Sometimes they come because of things we do. What I thank God is that God is forgiving. If you're a Christian, you got a chance always. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But guilt gets us, don't it? Sometimes we don't forgive ourselves. And you know sometimes people don't forgive you. But people can't get you to heaven. But it's still hard. It's still hard. That's why it's called tribulations. Because tribulation. And you know what? When we mess up, we should feel something. When we don't feel something, that's dangerous. Amen. If there's somebody in here that need to get something right today with the Lord, do it today. And you know, and it's such a weight lifted when you sin against God. You know you sin. And you've been caring and you're trying to hide and you're trying. I'm not saying come up here and tell everybody, yeah, I robbed a store last week. No, I'm not saying that. But at the same time, listen now. If we confess to the Lord, 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Now. And so what are you saying, Brother Gary? See, if I do something to my wife, Sister KB, if I wrong her, God forbid, if I hit her, oh, don't say that, Brother Gary. It's the real world. If I hit her, y'all would know about it. I got that kind of wife. I put it this way. Somebody would know about it. The elders would know about it. Oh, he needs counseling. And I'm saying it humorously, but it's not funny. You know it's not funny. It's real. But if I do something like that to my wife, it don't just go away. It don't just go away. When we sin, it don't just go away. If we don't get it right with God. I mean, we're in the real world. I'm talking real talk now. Listen, because I know, I don't talk people's business, but I have conversations. And I know some of us are carrying a load. And what we need to do is to confess it to God first. I need to ask the Lord to help me. And I need to go to my wife and say, baby, whatever I need to do whatever I need to do to help you heal and to me heal. I don't believe in that counseling. Well, you need to do whatever you need to do to help your relationship heal with your wife. So sometimes trials will come because of what we do. Face it. Apologize. Ask God to forgive us. If you do something publicly, if it's something that's brought a reproach on you, if you on the news and they say you punched a cop in the mouth and it's all in the news. Everybody see. You a member of the body of Christ. You ask the Lord for forgiveness, but you owe the church. Not that you owe the church, but the church needs to see that you are remorse behind what you've done. Amen. Help me, Lord, to not wallow in my sins. Help me, Lord, not to bring nothing bad on myself, on my family. And see, other tribulations come, we might not have nothing to do with it, but we live in a world of sin. It's just around us. See, especially if you married, what I do affect my family. I can cause trials. I'm struggling. I'm not making enough money. We need some more money. I go rob a store to get some money for my family. I'm good for my family. That's not the way to do it, brother. That's not the way to do it, sister. I go to jail. Sis KB had nothing to do with it, but guess what? She's going to experience trials. That's why Paul, he wrote to the church. He says, you got to continue in the faith. You living in the world, it's broken. There's sin all around us, everywhere. Things that you do, things that other people do, but don't give up. I just, that's why, that's why I'm smiling. The time that I can smile, and I'm smiling. Amen. Hey, when you have a good day, you need to say, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Don't borrow trouble, amen. Some of us, we just waiting on something to happen. Because scriptures say, through many tribulations, we shall enter the kingdom of God. And I say it because of just the stuff that I be hearing and people talking about. That's why you don't need to miss the fellowship. Amen. That's why you need to be singing songs of joy. The beautiful thing about it is that we as children of God, we can pray to God. You remember the prayer that Jesus prayed? He was teaching his apostles to pray. He says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He says, give us this day our daily bread. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. That's what I pray, Lord, deliver me. Don't put no more on me that I can bear. Deliver me from situations where I got to be. Help us, Lord. But we have that in Christ. Can I just say to the church before I close, continue in the faith. Don't give up. Sisters, if you're single, don't be disillusioned. Don't put all your hope in a man. In a woman. That's not the answer. I would ask the married folks to say amen, but don't say amen. But that's not the answer. A man or a woman is not the answer. Jesus and Jesus alone. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you can become one. Do it today by faith. If you're here, you want the church to pray for you, we'll pray for you. If you hear you want to get something right, you can get it right. Won't you come as we stand and sing this song?
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry. and from the waters lifted me. Now say, am I because love?